big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited about this topic because this is a topic that I've really wanted to talk about for a really long time because, again, I've been in the church online field for 4 years now, and church online is fantastic for reaching adults. But what do you do for children? What do you do for kids? Is it possible to do a family ministry experience? I've been so interested in exploring this possibility. Is it possible? Can you do it? And this week, I found two people who would love to talk about it with me. And so I have Jeff Reed, who has a lot of online experience, and Bobby Shaw with me, who is a creative. He's a student ministry creative guy now, but he has a history of working with children's ministry. So the three of us get together, and we just explore this. We talk about Jeff's experience because he's done family ministry programming before. Talk about a little bit about my experience, what I'm doing for children and families in my environment. And then we talk about just different ideas that we can do about how to have a children's ministry, a family ministry experience where children benefit as well. So I'm really excited about this conversation. And without any further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Jeff Reed and Bobby Shaw. All right, with me right now is Jeff Reed and Bobby Shaw. Guys, how are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Doing pretty good. Doing good.
Good, good, good. Well, I've had Jeff on the podcast before, but I have not had Bobby on the podcast. So, Bobby, give us a little background about who you are, and then we'll have Jeff share.
Yeah. I've been in children's ministry for the last 8 years at Austin Ridge Bible Church here in Austin, Texas. I did a lot of the creative programming for the kids ministry for 4 years, and then was the children's pastor for 4 years. And as of most recently, in August, went into a new career, or not a new career, but a new role as the student creative pastor. And so now I'm primarily looking at middle school and high school at our B-Cave campus, but as well as two of our other campuses that we have. And so it's been a neat adventure.
That's cool. What's been one of the challenges or one of the interesting transition things that you had to do going from children to student?
Yeah. It's a different breed of crazy. yeah. It's got older issues and things that they're walking through. But at the same time, there's that still that need for Christ and that brokenness that's there, and just searching and figuring out who they are. I think that's a big part of, this older age, is that they're trying to figure out their identity and who they are as people, but also, how we can help lead them and show, like, hey, here's who Christ is and we're, to find your identity in him. But yeah, they're still crazy and fun and goofy and will surprise you with weird things that they say and crazy Netflix recommendations. There's so many conversations about Netflix that, anyway, it's just fun. It's different.
That's cool. Okay, last question before we go over to Jeff. Who would win in a fight, Superman or Batman?
I got Batman over here, but I'd have to lean on Superman.
Oh gosh, no.
Yeah. Okay. The abilities is what sets him apart. Although the money's nice with Batman, but that's where I'd probably fall into.
You see, the answer is wrong because DC Universe is in fact negligent compared to Marvel. The entire question is invalid. I just wanted to bring that to the forefront. Yeah.
I can agree with you on that. And so let's transition now with Jeff here. Jeff, tell me who your favorite Marvel superhero is.
Oh, man, I could have a field day. I was reading Guardians of the Galaxy before the cinematic universe was even around. That was my favorite early on. Nice. Little known fact, Cobra from G.I. Joe was originally supposed to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What, really?
Yeah, no kidding. Like the bad guys, the Venom, the villain against S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Was originally Cobra. And at the last second, they decided to take it off and create the whole new thing with Hydra. And so Cobra was supposed to be Hydra.
That's interesting.
Listen, Google that. Take that. That's money in the bank for the listeners there at home.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. My name is Jeff. I run a company called the Church.Digital, where we help churches and nonprofits figure out how to do things online. And so conversations about church online, about digital, about social media, that's what I get to do all day, and throw in some live production in the mix on that too.
Yeah, you've got a great blog, and you got some great stuff that you have. So we're going to share about that a little bit later, so where people can connect with both of you guys. But as we kind of transition into the conversation here, you know, this kind of stemmed from, I think Jeff actually initiated it. Someone asked a question in one of our Facebook groups about online family ministry, children's ministry opportunities, and what is there out, what's out there. Mm-hmm. And I know I do something, but it's very minuscule, but I know Jeff has done stuff in the past. So to kind of get us started, Jeff, share with us a little bit about what you did when you were an online campus pastor and with family and children's ministry.
Sure. You know, it's really interesting. Like, this, I think, is the next kind of frontier as churches are wrestling with how to do an all-encompassing ministry online. Mm-hmm. With that, what to do with the kids or even the students. And so when I was at a church, I was at Christ Fellowship, and we were reaching thousands through the online campus, and we started doing a children's broadcast, a children's service each week online. Mm-hmm. Now for us, it was an easy jump. I say easy, it really wasn't easy, but it wasn't as hard. Christ Fellowship was probably at the time a 6 or 7 campus multi-site church. Mm-hmm. And so it had really gotten to the place of, in order to put a quality broadcast out there, a lot of the kids' curriculum was already in an online format. Mm-hmm. The storyteller, the dramas that were happening each week to tell the kids' stories was already existing via video. The worship oftentimes was video based. There wasn't live bands. It was, okay, you know, a YouTube lyric video with hand motions and things that were done. And so a lot of the, what made up a service existed on video. What was missing was kind of that live host that's usually in the room, you know, call it the campus pastor for the kids service type of thing, where, mm-hmm, you know, they're hyping up the room, they're getting them excited, they're telling Johnny, you know, to don't eat so much candy and don't be so crazy, just kind of controlling the room. And so we went as far as to record that host for the online children's service, and then package that together and play that each week. So if you know, kid is sick at home, he can watch, or if mom's unable to take him into church, the family could watch. And we had a lot of good exposure and a lot of good traction with the online service. To say it was at the same engagement as the adult service, probably not. Interestingly, like for us, the quality of the service was good. It was the, how do you market this thing was really where we kind of struggled with that. Externally, like, how do you reach kids that are in other cities and states, and ethically, should we? And it's like a lot of that's where we kind of tripped up. Yeah. But it was really neat to even get to the place where you've got the, you know, the PDF for the small group leader, and to make that available to the parents or whoever, so that they could take their kids through the same craft, through the same, you know, tangible, tactile experience they'll do in the small groups, do that at the home. Yeah. We had, you know, a house church that was using that material to even through the online campus house church to even create, a small group experience and a children's experience there, in another room. You know, they were doing it at the same time. Actually, this is in New York. It was what the kids would lead each other with it. Like they'd have a fifth grader who would read the PDF and would lead like the second, the third grader, from the house church, and would literally walk through, the children's service in the small group time. So
that's cool.
You know, some really good experience, but you know, and what's been interesting is even with me in the past couple, months, I've had 3 or 4 conversations with different churches. Hey, so what can we do online? Like, what does this look like? And I don't know that I necessarily had all the answers, which is why I think having a, you know, just a round table here, conversation is a good thing to do.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. This is a great start. So let me ask you this question. When you did your children's programming, did you put this up on your church platform and they could download it at certain times, or how, where did you put this?
We did two different things with it. We put it in, we would do a weekly broadcast push out via the church platform, the church website, where we have a adult service that would stream. And, you know, it would roll out. It was on demand, but it was Sunday morning, like 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the kids, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Then there was a lot of asking for archived, like, oh, I want to see that, or I want to go through the entire series and stuff like that. Or kids, like, would just, you know, want to just watch it again and again and again, because that's what kids do. They just watch material again and again and again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we created an archive section for that. And really saw extensive views on these things as kids were just playing the same video over and over and over again.
That's really cool. Was part of that archive too, did you put it on YouTube as well or no?
You know, we did not. I want to put an asterisk on that. We should have.
Yeah.
It was right about the time we were closing doors on it that YouTube came out with YouTube Kids. That made YouTube a lot more kid-friendly. And truthfully, the reason we shut it down is that Christ Fellowship ended up stopping creating original content and went with a third-party content creator that had different online rights. We didn't have access to use it in that same way. The campus didn't shut down from lack of success. It really shut down, at least the online kids section of it. It shut down as a result of just unable to keep paying for original content creation.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Okay. So this is good. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what I do. Again, because I serve as a student minister, but also about 4 years ago took over the online campus stuff as we launched that. And I kept on thinking, like what you said, Jeff, really resonates. I think this really is the new frontier for online churches. How do we get stuff out there for children and youth? And so one of the things I started doing was I took our lessons that we would do on Sunday morning in the children's ministry program and make a short little video, about 3 to 5 minutes. It varies week to week, but 3 to 5 minutes of me walking through that lesson almost as a storyteller, but also as a way for them to engage in a family unit or a friend unit together. And so I would make these short videos. I called it the family chit chat. And the idea was just to walk through a Bible study together. And I would use our curriculum, you know, the images that they had as ways to communicate that a little bit good. But again, a lot of it's me communicating to them. And so I don't think it's a perfect solution, but it is one thing that I do. And I put that only on YouTube. And then I market it on Twitter. I upload it directly to Facebook as well. And so that people on Facebook can see it and kind of do it together. But that's what I've been doing that. And again, it reaches moderate success. The one thing that we did do that really made me think this could happen and this could have legs is we had a blizzard 2 years ago in our area, and we had to cancel church. Just people couldn't get it. So we had an old church service that we threw up there on our online church platform to throw out for everybody. But then I also then took... And again, I don't know if we had the legal rights to do this, but I still did it anyways. I took the video content that our curriculum gave us, and I compiled it into a 25-minute video and posted up on there as well. And I shared that with everyone and said, hey, we're going to have a family service at 6:30 p.m. on that Sunday night. And we had a lot of families come and do that together. And so I thought, this was fantastic. How can we do more, and what do we do, and how can we do more? And that's where I'm kind of stuck. So Bobby, as you hear all this stuff, and as you have the children's ministry background, what kind of sticks out to you about this kind of stuff that we're talking about?
Well, I think it makes me excited as far as kind of looking at, you know, what could be, and looking at, you know, just our culture and society as far as just how digital is such a huge part of it, you know, for kids and adults. And I think one of the things too, I think there's so much unknown and so much that could be, you know, that we could really tap into within the world of kids. As Jeff was saying, there's so much, you know, from the curriculum standpoint that is video based that really would make it, you know, an easy field to traverse into. And I think it's just from my perspective, I think it's targeting like, okay, what are you wanting to do? What is, you know, what's the purpose? Like, who are you trying to reach within this? Is it, you know, kids that aren't necessarily there? Is it, you know, families that are participating in your ministry or in your church that you're wanting to provide, you know, here's, you know, if you're out for a week or if you're, you know, wanting to just grow in your discipling your kids, you know, and partnering, you know, with the church to do that, you know, that's an awesome way of doing it. I think one of the things that I could see it really doing well here at Austin Ridge and other churches that have very limited as far as like their services, like we're parents, you know, we really value getting to worship with our kids, but we have a really great kids ministry too. And we want our kids to be a part of that. And so there's not that tension, that battle, like where you can, you know, hey, family, you guys, you can worship on Sunday together, but then you have something like this that your kids can be, you know, like, hey, this is focused on them content wise and not, you know, not changing scriptures or dumbing it down, but doing it in a way that's going to reach children and reach them where they're at. And so I think that's kind of what I would really gravitate towards is like, hey, this isn't something that's like to compete, but it's something to partner with and to be like a tool that the families can really dig into and use, you know, whether they're attending church, you know, there physically and live, or if it's something that's like a supplemental or a, you know, additional, or, you know, maybe it is a family that won't enter the doors of a church. And this is kind of that first step, that first way of seeing like, hey, what is this about? And the same goes for kids too. I think no matter what size your church is, you know, to be a new kid in a new place is scary and intimidating at times. I grew up the son of a pastor. We moved around about every 4 years. And so I always felt like, man, I'm the new kid. It's a new scene that you're walking into. And so to kind of ease that too, you know, even if it's introductory, yeah, like digitally, you know, like, hey, here's what the building looks like. Here's what it looks like to be in a small group. Any of that you can put in a digital format to kind of ease that and to bring kids in, you know, to that community, I think is huge. We really haven't done a ton of that, you know, the digital field here, because like I said, there's so much open and just kind of figuring it out and brainstorming, you know, and having discussions like this. You know, from the student ministry perspective, I think it's a little bit easier or just it's different. Right now we're doing, you know, a live stream every Sunday morning on Facebook using, you know, just a simple little Mevo camera that, you know, you can, there's a lot of potential in that to make it something bigger and better than it is. But at the bare bones, it's something that's cheap, reasonable, and, you know, that a lot of churches could just adapt very quickly and easily if they're wanting to kind of venture into it.
Okay. So you just hit on a lot of cool things here. So okay. I want to break down a little bit. We'll first hit on the children stuff. Cool. And Jeff, you have a lot of experience with this. But from my understanding, from what we're experiencing at my church, New Life Christian Church in Virginia, is that church online is a very much an introductory, a front door for the church. Before someone ever checks it out, they will come in and they will check us church online. And I feel like what you just said about that as showing that for children as a way for them to get acclimated would be a really good thing for them just to be able to see and visualize, hey, this is what church, you know, kids' church looks like. What do you think about that, Jeff? When you were using your children's ministry church online stuff, did you have a specific target in mind, or how were you using it as an introductory?
You know, the intentionality behind it was not as much introductory as much as it was honestly reaching out and trying to reach a new demographic. And I do a lot of writing and talking about, you know, digital communications. I'm communicating to my church body. People already know me, or digital missions where I'm expanding my circle of influence beyond the 20 miles around my campus to try to create new ministry opportunities online. Mm-hmm. And so in the adult realm, we were reaching 50-60% of the people were not in the city of Miami. We're not even in the state of Florida. Like, it was a huge outside external reach. Now with kids, exact opposite. Kids was 80% plus within Miami. We really could not get a foothold to create a children's ministry online to be external, to be outward reaching, to expand circle of influence. But, you know, Jimmy's sick, so Sally can't go to church, and both of them end up watching online. You know, I don't know what the stats are, but I'm willing to bet if the average person attends 1 week out of three, kids is probably going to be worse than that, because it's just so difficult. Something is always, I mean, even in my own life with my own kids and my own wife, like, we experience this on a regular basis where somebody's got a fever, somebody's sick, and that shuts down the entire house and nobody can go, or, you know, traveling or things like that. And so, you know, as a result, that's where a lot of the online traffic came from. You know, for kids, it was the support. It was the front door effect of what Bobby was speaking of. But it was far more inward reaching necessarily than kind of that outward facing, especially beyond kind of the reaches of the physical church.
I think that's really interesting, the different stats you just put out there between the adult church and the children's church. How long was your service that you would post up there, Jeff?
Oh, man, if it was 20 minutes, that would have been long. It was on the short side. Mm-hmm. Obviously, kids' attention spans being what it is, was one thing. Even just like the method, we would maybe do two or three songs in the venue live, like at a physical campus. Mm-hmm. But I think online we limited it more to one and two. The game was a shorter version of it. You know, and we always tried to make it on the shorter side because we wanted kids to make it all the way through it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even as I'm saying that, it was probably more like 10 or 15, just doing math in my head. But it's funny, like the lady who was the host for us, who's now a physical campus children's director for the church. Anytime I see her, she's like, when are we going to start that up again? I love, like, the ability to reach and to create this content in a video format, and the lives that were impacted by it on the kids' side. It was phenomenal. And really, it didn't take that much more than organizationally what we were already doing. And so that's kind of the kicker is, you know, a lot of churches are creating their own content. A lot of churches are videotaping and creating these resources for a volunteer teacher to lead at a physical campus. It's not that far of a jump to say, okay, I'm going to create the same resource for a parent who's not a volunteer, but a volunteer type person to lead to do this, you know, in their own home.
No, that's really cool. Well, let me ask you this. Did you expect, who was the teacher of this, of your children's online stuff? Was it the children's minister, the family minister, or was it a completely different person?
So we tried, I can't speak. we went outside of staff and we brought somebody in who had incredible, camera presence, incredible stage presence, certified actor, actress in the situation. And we were like, hey, you know what? She's going to knock this out of the park because she is a premier professional. And it didn't work. part of what we discovered, honestly, was this person from the outside who came in as a contract and on part-time, just kind of project managing and being on camera and filling this. They didn't know our kids ministry. Yeah. Like, they were involved in kids ministry as a part-time, you know, as a volunteer. Yeah. So they were semi-aware, but kind of like the breadth of kids ministry, being there for that staff meeting with the last minute change, you know, constantly trying to get communicated to, the effort that it took to keep that lady up to speed so that she could, you know, manage the projects and represent it well online, just didn't work. Yeah. And so instead, we looked at one of the campus's directors and said, hey, you know what? I want you to do a little extra here. We want you to do this on camera. And she was all over it. She rocked it, and she did a phenomenal job. But when changes happened, she needed to know it for her physical campus anyway, for the involvement of who she was. She was already in these staff meetings. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a little extra that she had to do to represent that in an online environment.
That's cool. That's awesome. Well, let me ask you this question. As I kind of was just, as we've been talking here, you know, again, I think having good online content is important, but then I'm also thinking, you know, again, there are so many people that do produce good content. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I'm thinking Right Now Media's got a ton of resources, a ton of like children's programming that they have. That's kind of like the Netflix of, you know, Christian media stuff. Like, is it important for us as a church, do you think, to be sharing some online content with our families in our children's ministry? What do you guys think about that?
Yes.
Good, Bobby, yes. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I think, like I said, it's such a digital world. And I think if you're you're not changing the message of what is true, but the delivery and the way that you're doing it, you know, has to keep up with what you know is communicating, what kids and what parents and families are drawn to. And so I think, yeah, like if you're not, you don't have any digital presence, you're missing out on such a huge opportunity to share Christ in a different way, in a different manner. But again, holding true to what, you know, what is true to the gospel. But yeah, the way that you're delivering that message is keeping up with, you know, technology and what, you know, God's given us and what's out there. And so, yeah.
Good. No, that's great. Jeff, what do you think?
You know, there's a lot. What's interesting is there's a lot of content out there that's already existing. Like you mentioned, Right Now Media, they are phenomenal, the resources that they have that are available. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Right Now is one of those vendors that, you know, just for licensing purposes, they're not able to share a lot of that. And so for people who use like Right Now or Orange, you know, material, their licensing prevents organizations from using that. A lot of what we built at CF, like a lot of it was us, but a lot of it was other people that we just crafted it to make it look like us. You know, just off the top of my head, New Spring creates a lot of video content, or at least they did at the time, and we would use a lot of their stuff. I mean, I just in my mind, I don't even remember what the purpose of this was, but they did Minecraft? That's the Microsoft game, right? Yeah. So they did a whole sermon series, like video story. They told a story. I don't remember the story, but they literally told it using Minecraft characters. Like they created a Minecraft world and screen capped the video. And it was phenomenal storytelling, you know, capacity. And fortunately, you know, they were one of these churches that was like, hey, you want to use our content to reach other kids? No problem. Go to town. And so that was, I mean, that was 6 weeks of Christ Fellowship Kids right there.
Yeah.
In the physical as well as in the online. And so, man, if you're creating content, not only share it with your kids, share it with your families, share it with your churches, share, you know, get it out there. If you've got the resources to create some of this stuff, you know, it's amazing the impact what happens when it happens exponentially. And not only you do it, but you take it to somebody else and you take it to somebody else.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. Sorry guys. I just had Zoom just popped up a message. Yeah. Like, oh crap, what the heck happened? But that's awesome, Jeff, of what you said there. And, as we've been kind of thinking through this, I'm thinking if someone's listening to us right now, they're like, this sounds great. I would love to be able to do this, but I don't have all the resources. I don't have all the ability. I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the staff people to do it. What Bobby just said about the student ministry, I would love to hear what you have to say about that, because this sounds like something that's very low budget, but something that's effective.
Yeah, one thing that we started out doing, and it was actually prior to my time on the student team, but there's ways that you can, you know, purchase equipment and ways to have a really low budget. I mean, even if it's turning a MacBook around or something to that nature that you're live streaming. But we've been using this little Mevo camera, and it's a $300 camera thereabouts that you can stream live to Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube. You can, and I believe it's actually through Vimeo, like they own, you know, the rights to Mevo and have incorporated them. But it's just, yeah, it's one of those things. We've seen, you know, a few students that are watching it live on Facebook. We've had those go back, even from a teaching standpoint, to be able to, you know, as ministers to go back and say like, okay, yeah, let's kind of watch our game footage and see, you know, what was really connecting well, things that we dropped the ball on or, you know, bombed that we can grow and learn from. But it's been cool to hear and to see parents even too, just knowing that like, hey, we're going to be out of town. We want to watch this while on the road, you know, with our students. And so it's been huge. But at the same time, it's been a little thing that we've just been able to incorporate that doesn't, you know, beyond the initial camera, it doesn't cost anything, you know, to host on Facebook and to stream it there. And you have to be cautious of, you know, music and stuff like that. Facebook is really good at capturing, like, hey, I heard you're playing this song. We're going to mute this out for you. And so you got to be careful of that. I'd say, you know, the audio part of it too is, you know, if you can tap into your soundboard or however you're capturing it, that's better. But from, if you're trying to record music and things like that, it's going to sound like garbage. But from a speaking standpoint, that's one thing that we've really, it's been neat to be able to do that and kind of open up.
Yeah. And I, what I love about it is just a very low cost way. Even if you have just an iPhone or an iPad or something like that, you can stream your service or your time together and start fooling around with it. I use Periscope from time to time to stream different elements of it and Facebook Live. And it's just a great first step that you can get into to really start looking into it and say, okay, is this tracking with anybody? Is anybody following this? And maybe we should look into this a little bit more. It's not going to be the best sound quality or anything like that, but you'll get there eventually if it's, you know, showing a return on investment. So,
you know, you never want to hold off from doing something because it can't be excellence or it can't be perfection. Yeah. You know, a lot of what we're seeing in online environments and is rough, but it's live. Like, that's what Facebook wants. They don't want the professional broadcast feel. They want originality and they want genuinity. I don't even know if that's a word, authenticity, whatever. Yeah. But that's what they're looking for. And so, you know what? You're not in a position where you can let your worship, and you can't get the audio mix to be right for the worship. Then don't broadcast the worship.
Yes, exactly.
Press record. Press broadcast when the teaching starts.
Exactly.
Get something out there, and then evolve with it. You can't. You don't have like 8 volunteer people on a team to be chat hosts. You can't recruit them yet. Then don't do chat initially. Just start with something basic, and then it's amazing once you get something out there. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to cast vision for what it actually is. You know, a lot of times, especially in the physical environment versus online environment, people in the physical environment, they don't understand, they can't wrap their brain around what online is. Mm-hmm. And then once you start doing it, that's where you get more and more people on board. So I mean, if you're out there and you're not doing anything, go. Yeah. What are you waiting for? Just do something in the realm and see what God does with it.
Yeah, I would agree. Just start trying and experimenting and see what happens, see what works well for you guys and kind of go from there. Well, this, guys, has been awesome. It's been fantastic. This is just really the start of a conversation that I hope that we continue to have, you know, about what we can be doing to experiment with family ministry, children's ministry, student ministry, and how we can reach more people for Christ. So I know, Jeff, I know you have some, you do a blog and you are connected in that way. Share with everyone your blog and how people can connect with you on social media.
Sure. I'm at thechurch.digital. I got a blog there, thechurch.digital/blog. You can just follow the link. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I write a lot about church online, mm-hmm. and some on the digital side, but in my heart, I'm a church online guy. Yeah. Social media, you can find me at Dear Fedge. That yes. would be Jeff Reed backwards.
D-E-R-F-F-E-J.
Yeah, it was funny when Bobby knew me. I changed my name because there was another Jeff on staff, and so I was JD. Okay. And so for a while, I actually debated whether or not to call my social handle Dear DJ, like a deer who's like spinning vinyl. You see, in my heart, I think that's funny, but whenever I tell that story, everybody else is like staring at me blank. So anyway, Dear Fedge is where to find me on social media. And if you got questions on church online, kids, students, adults, whatever, man, I'd love to just wrestle with this in an online environment.
Yeah, you are a great resource. I'm glad we connected quite a few months ago, and I love the content you produce. And I'll have all those links on the show notes. Bobby, how can people connect with you?
I'm pretty basic. Facebook.com/IamBobbyShaw.
And I am Bobby Shaw. Nicely.
So good for you.
I grab it right at the beginning. the official Bobby Shaw. But that's where you can find me. And then austinridge.org. / students, as far as kind of keeping up with, you know, some of the things that we talked about today.
Yeah.
And our live stream. But
So no Twitter for you?
Nah. I'm just Facebook and Insta, and that's it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, Bobby, you would do a good Snapchat. I'm calling you out right now. I'm like whatever the animated ears are, you'd have a field day with that.
I appreciate it. I'll take a compliment.
Awesome. Well, guys, this has been fantastic. Thanks so much for joining me, and I look forward to talking to you guys more.
Cool. Thanks, Tom.
All right, there you have it. My conversation with Jeff and Bobby. It was great having them on the podcast. It was a little bit longer podcast than I normally have, but this is a great starting point for a discussion of what would it look like? What have we done in the past, and what could it look like in the future? And I think there's some real great possibilities. Even again, if you go low end, like what Bobby was talking about, just get a camera up there and start streaming stuff. There's realms of possibilities that you can do with your children and family ministry experiences. So I would love to hear from you guys about what you think about this. Are you doing a family ministry experience online? What does it look like? How are you doing it? What are some pros? What are some cons? I would love to hear your thoughts on it. So definitely hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to carry this conversation online some more. That would be fantastic. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. And as always, if you enjoyed the podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe to this. Or you could go to ymsidekick.com, where I've got the blog, the vlog, the podcast. I've got my Twitter ebook, and I got information about Digital Bootcamp, a Facebook group where any minister can join and you can learn digital tools to help expand your reach in your ministry. It's a fantastic Facebook group that's open, again, to all ministers. So I hope you go there and join that as well. All right, here's why. I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.